hello everybody and welcome back. Where were we? It's a brand new season of the Pitching In NPL show, and welcome to this season's brand new preview special. And you join us here back at the Heat and Hops, everyone.
Pre-recorded live
last Wednesday.
We should mention why we're doing this show so unheavenly early.
Well, it's because he's there, isn't it?
Yeah, don't point at me. That was
ruining the surprise.
Round the table here at the Heat and Hops, we're joined by social media officer. It's a welcome back after a month since we last spoke. It's James Hayes, everyone.
Afternoon, evening. How are you doing?
All the way from Belgium. He joins us in the flesh. It's Swampy from FC Radio. Hello, Swampy. How are you?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. And hello, at whatever time this is going out. Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you are around the world.
I was having a little joke with Damien, because we've obviously not been here in a while. Mm. And Damien was very keen to have us here. And I figured it's because he's not seen Swampy in 2 years, and that's quite a tab at the bar. So thanks for joining us, Swampy. Well, a bit light in the pocket nowadays.
As you might know, I was here in March, and I've been over here regularly. There was a two-year gap.
Don't ruin the joke. Berkey's here from 26 now, everyone. Hello, Berkey.
Hello, Ben. Hello, everyone.
Slip disc, Berkey.
Oh, you got a bad back?
Yes, I've got a herniated disc in my neck.
Oh.
Sounds worse than a slip disc, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's the
neck.
Same.
How does that happen?
Well, bad posture over 20 years in the same bobbins chair, I think.
And joining us from the great non-league county that is Cheshire, it's a welcome back to Simo. Hello, Simo. How are you?
Well, Berkey's stolen my neck joke, because I was going to say I'm a bit worried about getting neck ache from looking up from the West Division.
Oh, Simo.
I know the feeling, don't worry.
Yeah.
don't worry, you've got two Warrington sides now.
That's it.
This week, we are going to be joined by Thomas Feeney and Mark Rovers later to discuss the North East as well as Yorkshire. But as we're this side of the Pennines, we've got bags of stuff that we could talk about on this week's show.
So all that research I've done is for naught?
No, you can still chip in.
Oh, all right.
You can still chip in. Yeah. It's just to make sure we've
And he has as well.
It's going to be interesting, though, you chipping in when the guys that are going to discuss the North East aren't here, and therefore how you're going to blend that in is going to be fantastic.
Magic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Berkey and Matt Carruthers, professionals.
Correct.
That's right. Right, let's kick things off. We are going to talk about this season in some form of order. And I figured the best place we could start is the team who didn't get promoted from the playoffs last season, and that's Warrington Town. Simo?
Yes.
We'll start with Warrington Town.
Okay.
How do you think they're feeling heading into this season, bearing in mind they just missed out again?
Yeah, I think they'll be feeling a lot better now than they did shortly after losing to Scarborough. Although I would say, after watching the game, and it was brilliant to be able to do that, by the way, we should give that some love. I think the better team on the day did win the playoff final, so I don't think they can have too many complaints about losing that one-off game. This is also a situation Warrington have been in before, picking themselves up off the deck after playoff disappointment. However, here's the positive bit after that. I think they've had a brilliant summer in the transfer market, and I think Mark Beasley is very quietly putting together a stronger team than what he had last year. In Cheshire, we've kind of seen the fallout from Altrincham going full-time. So a lot of very, very good semi-pro players have become available. And Warrington are one of the clubs that are going to benefit from that. So they've signed Tony Thompson, who's going to play in goal. Tom Hannigan's going to play centre-half, which is timely because Mark Roberts has obviously retired since the end of last season. Hannigan obviously been outstanding for them in the National League. So they've strengthened in areas where they needed to strengthen. And then they've kept the spine of their team largely. Matt Gravossi's got a great move into the Football League to go to Bolton, but they've largely kept the rest of the team together and added something that they were missing up top. They've now got a bit of pace for Mikey Howard, who's stepping up from Skem, who had a brilliant season for them in the North West Counties League, and he joins the kind of muscle of Buckley and Amis up there. They've got all the ingredients. I would be, if I was a Warrington fan, very quietly optimistic.
Anyone agree with that? Should they be optimistic?
I think they can be optimistic, and I think the other thing is, with Rylands coming up, that gives them even more of an incentive. I think the first result they'll be looking at every single Saturday or Wednesday will be the Rylands result, because they'll want to finish above them. Rylands are a new, relatively new club. We know they got promoted last season, and they're a good, decent team, and they've obviously improved their squad this season, for the next season as well. But that's a really, it's always a big thing. I mean, such a team close to you, and you want to beat them. I mean, it's, you know, a big rivalry for them too now, and I think that's one of the things that'll help them.
What do you think the chances are of them both competing up at the top end and geeing each other on?
High. I think I think they are extremely ambitious. They haven't come into the Premier Division to consolidate, like we always say about newly promoted teams. They're not here to do that and just look at who they've signed. This is going to be a fascinating dynamic. Covering teams in a town when they are in the same division, there is no doubt that they do push each other on. Mm. So in the bigger picture, that might not be a bad thing for either of them. There is that little bit of we want to finish above you. I do think experience will count a lot, though. Warrington Town know what it takes to be successful in this division, and I think Dave McNabb will need a little bit of time to figure that out for himself.
With Warrington this year, though, is they don't have the same hangover as did from losing the Super Playoff final. So we remember that one completely.
It's still a playoff final, but lost
to Kingsley and was a lot more hurt him a lot more. Let's be honest.
Is there a fear though from a Warrington perspective, perhaps because Rylands have got big ambitions, we know, and we know Warrington also had big ambitions and they've fallen short on a few occasions over the last three or four seasons now, unfortunately. So they're going to, in a way, they're going to be also very careful that, you know, looking over the shoulder, they perform in order to make sure that they're still top dog in Warrington, because that's what football clubs and supporters want. You want to be top dog in your town, and these new upstarts that are going to come in, they'll be looking at them going, you know, we're going to be the bigger team of the two this season.
James, I need you to make some notes, because at the minute it looks like we're only two teams in and both teams are going to be up at the top end. Right, so just make
up. No one said in and around yet.
Let's go to Matlock Town next. Swampe, Matlock Town last season, I think were above expectation. Got themselves in the title race for a long period. Looked like they were going to drop out of the playoffs, but steadied the ship at the right time and got themselves into the playoffs.
The thing is, if they were last season, they were a big surprise. They went on a fantastic run. They have good footballers in that team, excellent football players. They didn't get promoted last season. Are they going to change their style and tactics this season? I don't think they will.
It worked for them, so why change it?
Well, because they got rumbled in the last couple of months of the season. Whether there was a little bit of a crisis of confidence among the camp as well, I don't know, but they got a few players in the last month which really helped the cause in the end. Benito, alright, only played a couple of games, but he really stood out, and he's got a move to Curzon on the back of it. But I think they're going to have to do something slightly different this season to be pushing again.
The fact that they've replaced their captain Hughes up top with Jake Day, who's a very, very similar profile, literally, suggests that they think that is the way to go again. Now, Day might score more goals than Hughes, and that might be something to keep an eye on.
It will be a club, though, that's got a bit more of a spring in its step than it had last season going into that campaign. Speaking of surprise packages, let's just discuss Bamba Bridge and, you know, can they do it again?
Jamie Milligan, he's really, really good at playing the loan market. He's brought so many players through in the relatively short amount of time that he's been there. You've gone on to, well, I don't say bigger and better things.
Is there not an element to this where it's kicked on? So, you know, last season there might be clubs, let's say Blackpool or Fleetwood, who go, oh yeah, you can have him for a bit, and then they've been pleased with how those players have performed, and therefore Bamber Bridge's reputation has increased.
Absolutely.
And therefore there's a chance they might extend their loan spells.
I think they've got a very good manager. He's tactical. He knows his stuff. They play an attractive style of football. I think this year he knows with the new slight rule changes.
There is some rule changes. Some rule changes.
Then they've probably adapted already. They might be going for season-long loans opposed to just maybe short-term loans. But they've got every chance of having a good season again. Yeah.
However, this is where the new rules come into the FAR restricting that sort of thing this year.
What are they though?
You're only allowed to have so many work experience at once, and you can only have so many players from a club within a season.
Really quick point on Bamber Bridge, which we should make clear that we're actually praising the way in which they use the market. For the listeners, they think, oh, you know, they can't do it again because they've got to find a load of loan players. How Brigg compete, you know, one of the things we'll probably come on to in this episode is kind of how much more difficult that is with some of the money that's coming into the league with the promoted teams to join what's already there. So the skill that Jamie Milligan has shown in the transfer market is what gives them a cat in hell's chance of competing at this level.
And the recovery as well that they showed in the last month or two of the season after that terrible run.
Both Matlock and Bamber Bridge had that similar wobble, didn't they?
They did.
And Bamber Bridge had just run out of games, essentially.
They recovered, though, didn't they?
And equally, none of us at the beginning of the season had either of them, I don't think, to be right up there.
Dead right.
And the surprise out of all, I mean, Matlock, yes, but I think Bamber Bridge was the biggest surprise. And for me, was possibly the team of the season, although they didn't get promoted, based upon how they did it and the quality of football that they produced. Superb.
There's a lesson, though, there for you, dear listener at home. Whatever we predict on this season preview, don't worry about it. It's fine. We know we're wrong. You know we're wrong.
You love that we're wrong.
It doesn't matter. So move on, everyone.
So that's Bamber Bridge getting relegated.
Yeah, we're literally here just to fill an hour.
And I suppose during this show, we are going to cover every single team because, you know, on occasions in the past, we have forgotten teams.
No, I've got the list here.
But in the past, we have. Fine. And we've had at least one email, at least one.
Very strongly worded.
Very, very strongly worded email saying, excuse me.
They'd move to the Southern League, all right? Anyway, and it was a long time ago, we've moved on. Let's talk about the North East now. South Shields and Morpeth Town had a mixed bag last year. Morpeth Town had a horrendous start to the season, but then went zooming up the table, but then missing out on the playoffs towards the end. Whereas South Shields were tussling up at the top all the way through last season, but missed out to Buxton, and then missed out in the playoffs as well. And Whitby Town were in the playoffs for ages, but dropped out. But for more now on the North East, let's welcome back a dear old friend to the show. Here's Matt Carruthers. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us and welcome back to the show. We're going to go up the coast from the furthest south up to the furthest north. So we're going to start off talking about Whitby and their chances for this season. Decent enough campaign last year. They probably have a tinge of, could we have got ourselves into the playoffs in the end? But certainly something to build upon last year for this season to come for Whitby.
Yeah, I think last year it'll be one of those seasons where they've sat down and looked at maybe points that they've thrown away in certain games. You know, 5 points isn't a massive gap to Warrington, who got that last playoff spot. But, you know, Nathan Haslam and the guys he's got there behind the scenes, they know the game at this level inside out. Yes, they've lost, obviously, the main goal scorer on Jacob Hazel going to Darlington, which is a massive blow. But Nathan's got an unbelievable contact list, and I've got no doubt that he's made moves already to replace Jacob, to strengthen the squad and go again. I actually see them possibly having a similar sort of season, but with a strong start, maybe they could push into that playoff bracket.
They've obviously lost the derby in Scarborough getting promoted, but they've gained a new one with Mass United joining the fun and games this season in the NPL Premier Division. What's your sense on what this means for North Yorkshire and that Stockton area, for how competitive it's going to be?
Well, firstly, I'm absolutely delighted for Mass getting up, because, you know, you look at their rise from the Northern League and the runs that they've had in the FA Cup, the FA Trophy, and what they did last season, when, let's be honest, for large parts of the season, we thought they were going to be champions in the East Division, but obviously got pipped by Liversedge. I was down there in the last sort of month of the season for that game when Liversedge, I think, pretty much secured the title. But Mask had a brilliant season last year, narrowly missed out on a place in the FA Cup first round, had a good little trophy run. And I always think it speaks volumes for a club and a squad and a management team when they miss out on the title but go up through the playoffs. It doesn't happen very often, but, you know, they're more than worthy of being promoted, and I've got no doubt they'll do pretty well in the Premier Division. They've got strong attacking players. They've got a disciplined defence. Cole Jarrett's added to his squad very well. You know, he's made some really shrewd additions. So they'll be a great addition to the Premier Division. But as you say, I mean, you know, football in North Yorkshire and Teesside's really on the up. There's several clubs that are looking to progress, and Mask are the ones leading the way.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see how they adapt after, you know, what was a pretty impressive season. I mean, ordinarily they would have won the East Division, wouldn't they, if it wasn't for Liversedge?
Oh, 100%. 100%, yeah. And, you know, you look at the gap to Cleethorpes, who finished third. I think it was something like 17 or 18 points. Just remarkable how the two sides just set the tone throughout the season. Only lost 5 games between them. And I think the difference maker was literally the games between them. You know, I look back at that day at Mask when Liversedge beat them, and just not a lot went right for Mask. They didn't really turn up in the game, and Liversedge were very, very worthy winners. And actually, I think both sides will be tough opponents again this season for whoever they come against.
Let's go to South Shields then. As the presenter of the show, I've got to be impartial, but they've got to be up there for runners and riders, haven't they? That's for sure. What do you reckon for the expectation management this season? Should South Shields be confident?
Well, look, I think we looked 12 months ago and they were going into the first season as a full-time professional club. after the transition from part-time with the hybrid model. And they made a number of signings last summer where, I don't mind saying now, I looked at them and I thought, I'm not 100% sold on them. I don't think they were the right additions. Yet I look this summer at the business that they've done, and it's very impressive. It is players that have you know, more than coped at a higher level, whether that's Football League, whether that's National League North. I think they've solved a lot of issues that they've had. They've added experience of a higher level. They've added experience of promotions. And I feel they've added the right characters more than anything. Now, I think last season, when I looked at that Warrington game, I looked through the side and I just thought that they were lacking a little bit in character. So when Warrington turned the game around, there was little resistance. I think this year you'll see a bit more of a battle-hardened South Shields side. I think Kevin Phillips has been really backed in the transfer market very well. I would make them favourites. I don't think that many people would argue with that. I don't think, anyway. And I really think this is the year when you may well see a slightly different South Shields. You know, Kevin's had, what, 6-7 months to work with them now and get them moulded into what he wants. They've had a largely positive pre-season. And I just feel that the work he's done in the transfer market will tip them over the edge this year and get them promoted.
Okay. Now, let's talk about Morpeth, because Morpeth's a very interesting one, isn't it? Because I think the instruction last year when Craig Lynch came in was, let's get away from the relegation places. They certainly did that, didn't they? And for a long stages last season, and especially in the second half, the question was, can they do it? Can they get into the playoffs? Which was a remarkable turnaround. But it wasn't Craig Lynch's side that. This year, it is Craig Lynch's side. What do you think is possible?
Well, firstly, I think Craig was one of the managers of the season last year. You know, you look when he went in there, I don't think they had a win to their name. They were, let's be honest, probably looking nailed on for relegation at one point, even though it was fairly early in the season. And to finish where they finished, to have the good FA Trophy run, the good FA Cup run they had, both ended by York City, of course. And to finish in mid-table and comfortably mid-table showed exactly what Craig's about as a coach. It showed the support that he gets from his backroom staff. You're right, this is now starting to turn towards his squad. He's made a number of pretty astute signings. I think Josh Robson coming in from Blyth Spartans, plenty of experience in him, despite the fact he's only 24-year-old. He's got experience of playing abroad. He came through Sunderland's academy. But I think what Craig's done more than anything is that he's looked to add some pace at the top end of the pitch. So in the past, a lot of their play went through Liam Henderson or Carl Finnegan, who were maybe a bit more physical in their approach. But he's brought in Dale Pearson from Concert, who scored regular goals in the Northern League, had a little bit of experience in the National League North of Blyth Spartans as well. And Connor Thompson, who came from Spartans, who was at Gateshead, who is probably one of the paciest players in the league. It's a little bit of a different dynamic to Morpeth this year. The one thing I would say is that they have lost Andrew Johnson to an injury in pre-season. I'm not quite sure how long he's going to be out for just yet, but you know, that's a big blow because he was unbelievable last season and scored over 20 goals in the league and cup. So that was a big blow. But I think, again, the overwhelming mood at Morpeth is one of you know, cautious optimism ahead of the season. They have a lot of talented midfielders in there, you know, like some Noble and Donaldson that have played at a higher level. I really think, you know, their target this year will be the playoffs. As I say, they made some astute signings, and I think it's an exciting season for them.
So with regards to what we've just spoke about there, Mark, we've gone through the four clubs up there in the North Yorkshire, North East region. And all four, I would suggest, could feel slightly optimistic about the coming season, varying degrees of expectations. But all four should be top half, do you feel?
It's probably a big call to go that far. I think Mask may well be dependent on how well they settle, how quickly they settle into the league. But then again, you can probably draw confidence from the record against high-level clubs in cup competitions, in the trophy, in the FA Cup. Now, I know it's very different doing it in sort of cup competitions in a one-off game rather than a long season. But there'll be confidence they can make an impact. With the other three, I think Whitby and Morpeth will be there or thereabouts with the playoffs. And you know, South Shields, I think, you would expect them to challenge for the title, given what they've done this summer.
Okay, okay. Now, Mark, we have spoke about the four clubs up your neck of the woods, but you obviously, you know, have an opinion on the rest of the North as well. There's going to be more than these four clubs, isn't there, competing up at the top end? I mean, what's your thoughts on the overall competition this year? And do I get you to make a prediction? I'll get you to do a broad prediction. How's that on who do you think the runners and riders are going to be this year?
I don't mind saying that. I think South Shields will win it. But again, that's purely based on the fact that I'm kind of repeating what I said, but that I think they brought in the right characters, the right sort of experience that they needed. In terms of clubs that'll be there or thereabouts, I'm interested to see what happens at Matlock and Warrington this year after they missed out in the playoffs last year. So I can't see them being too far away. It's a really interesting battle at the top end, isn't it? Because you look at it and just think there's a lot of clubs that are looking to see how they react to what happened last season. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting year. I'm looking forward to seeing how Warrington Rylands get on this year after their promotion. Obviously, it's good to see Marine back in the Premier Division as well. Guiseley have come down. They'll want to make an impact. But I think Guiseley will be an interesting one because we've spoken quite regularly about this, that clubs coming down from the National League North don't tend to really make an impact on the first season down, do they? They don't tend to go straight back up. So it'll be interesting to see how they cope at this level. For me, these 22 teams are probably making up the strongest Premier Division we've seen for a long time, and I don't think you can really take anything for granted. That's a really boring answer, isn't it?
No, but I think that's true. I know it's a cliche about, there's so many teams up at the top who could challenge this year, but it's true. Yeah, and you know, I think it's going to be a real predicament for a lot of pundits this year, which means, you know, every week we're going to have to be contradicting ourselves again, aren't we?
That's what we're best. But I think looking at, the clubs that have come into the division, you wouldn't look at any of them and go, I think they'll struggle this year. That's, you know, traditionally when a club comes into the division from a lower level, you would say, you know, you'd probably have them down to struggle against relegation. But I don't think any of them you could make that case for. I think they'll all be looking at mid-table as the target, admittedly, but I really do think they've strengthened this level to sort of, again, where it's going to be so difficult to predict the outcome of individual games, never mind the season as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us once again as we embark on another adventure in the Northern Premier League this season. Just before you go, just a quick plug for your work. Obviously, we're a week or so away from the league season kicking off. Plenty of clubs across the North East. Is the Northern League starting this weekend? Or is it...
Started last weekend.
Actually. Last weekend, right. So we're off and running, everyone. How could people keep across your musings across football in the North East?
Yeah, with my work, you can find me on Twitter at @MarkCruthers_. Write for the local papers up here in the North East as well as the non-league paper as well. And looking forward to a good season. My first NPL game will be next Saturday, actually, at North Shields as they play their first game in the East Division. Big occasion for them. And looking forward to the season ahead.
Football reporter from the northeast of England, Mark Carruthers there. Berkey, I did tell you all I was going to get Mark on and not to worry about the northeast clubs.
I thought when you were talking about northeast clubs, you meant sort of like the northeast league. And I didn't think about, we can talk about the teams in our division because we know about them.
Of course not. But Berkey's decided he was going to do some notes anyway. So what have you got for us?
Let's hear it. Oh, well, I didn't actually get as far as them.
You're just winding me up. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I got as far as Marine. So I haven't got Morpeth or South Shield.
Now, Morpeth, I've think they're similar in a way, in my mind, to Stafford Rangers, in the fact that I'm expecting them to kick on this season based on what they did last year. It's the same again, isn't it? Them just... Matt Hill just doing wonders and...
Well, yeah. Can you do wonders again, please? I actually think Stafford's best signing this summer is Matt Hill. He's signed an extension to his contract. I don't really know where they're going to peg their expectation because they overachieved so much. But by the way, thoroughly deserve to kind of be in the top 10 by the end of the season. I think, is this Stafford slowly getting back to what kind of we who've watched non-league football for a long time recognise Stafford to be? Because they are a big club. There have been changes there this season. They've lost Jake Charles, their centre forward, to Scarborough, so they need to find a way of replacing him. And then James O'Neill is a key central defender for them has left as well. So there's a little bit of a kind of reshuffle to do.
Trey Pemberton going to Max.
Trey Pemberton's
Max as well.
Gone to Max. So they've lost some key figures that did so well in that team last season. However, you would put your faith in Matt Hill, surely, to figure a way out.
Let's talk about Lancaster City. What do we think for Lancaster? Because last year it started brilliantly and then they faded away.
I think Matt Hill's going to be disappointed with how the season ended, because they were right up towards the playoffs. Start of the season, they were top of the table. And I think they just drifted away and just couldn't.
They got on a run again, didn't they?
Got on a little bit of a run, but it was too late for them to make any sort of impact. However, this year they've took advantage of Workington having a complete reshuffle. So the players who were in that playoff final have got themselves promoted and are playing at Lancaster now as well.
We do have to say, though, Mark Fell's a brilliant motivator. And he's a fantastic interviewee as well. You say hello to him.
Hello, Mark. Mark's listening.
Yeah. No, but he is. You know, you say, "Hi, Mark, so what do you make of that game?" And 10 minutes later, he'll come up for air and you finish the interview. It's absolutely brilliant. But the way that he's helped bring Sam Bailey on as a right back, converted him from a midfielder to a right back. And I'm telling you, he'd get into any team in the division, Sam Bailey now.
What about Nantwich Town?
They put a few results together at the end of the season.
I mean, they did get themselves out of Mither at the end of the season, and they did it impressively as well. And they made some good signings, timely signings, and got themselves out of trouble. But there has been some turnover at Nantwich this summer. So Josh Langley, key player in the middle of their defence, has moved across to Rylands. Joe Malkin's spell there is finally over, although obviously his contribution has been reduced by injury. And probably in the end, he would admit, didn't probably hit the heights that his talent has got, and he's moved across to play in Wales. Two really key players. Matty Devine has left this week as well. He's gone to join Prescott Cables at the level below. So there's a little bit of turnover, and the signings have made it quite interesting. Dave Cook's gone for experience, so there's a lot of 30-somethings coming in. Joel Grant's coming on the wing.
Good signing.
AJ Leach-Smith, who's obviously played as a professional, has come in as well. I mean, Nantwich didn't score probably enough goals last season, although Dan Cockerline weighed in with really important goals. So if he can get a little bit of support from Leach-Smith.
Jack Sherritt's a decent signing in centre mid.
Yeah. I mean, Cockerline, you know himself, if he starts well, he'll score 15, 20 goals in the season. He just needs to start well. His work rate is good. He's big and he's tall and he's hard to play against.
That's our chat about the teams who finished kind of in the top half. Admittedly, Nantwich Town finished 13th, but Mickleover have left the league now. They've gone to the Southern League. Best of luck to them next season. Buxton and Scarborough have obviously left us too. So Nantwich Town technically finished in the top half of the table last year.
In what world?
In the world of just outline, just then.
Yeah, so basically because three other clubs have left, they've moved up, though they had moved up because they'd left.
Exactly. But replacing the likes of Buxton, Scarborough Athletic and Mickleover are the teams from Yorkshire, Geisler and Liversidge. And for more on the Yorkshire sides now, let's hear from a dear old friend. Here's Thomas Feeney.
Well, Thomas, a big welcome back, and I hope you're having a lovely summer, but we're into August now, so all eyes looking at the opening set of matches in the Pitchening NPL Premier Division. And we've got you on to talk about the Yorkshire contingent. And let's start off with your beloved Geisler. What's the mood in camp like as we head towards this brand new season for the club?
I've got to say this now. I'm normally one of the most pessimistic people you could meet when it comes to Geisler. This time round, it's just been really nice, really positive. Loads of signings made, all of which were main targets. You know, I think the big thing here is the whole upheaval. You know, there was a massive expectation that, most of last season's squad, when the relegation happened, would leave. And I think that helped really, because what it meant was, you know, the management team, who have done a great job so far, kind of just went, right, the offer's there if you want to stay. But we also understand that you'll have other offers. So we are going to be looking at other players as well. And what's that meant is, well, you look at some very big clubs who are waiting on a player to agree a deal, and it's kind of disrupted their entire window. For Geisler, it's just been kind of a case of, right, you're not going to stay. We've got option A already confirmed to replace you. And it really has worked so far, I've got to say. You know, pre-season normally with Geisler, there's one or two incidents where you think, uh-oh, you know, warning signs are there. It may be a bad defeat or whatever. But this time round, the performances have been really good. And it has to be said, Danny Ellis, who, you know, is Mr. Geisler, really, for what he did on the pitch, what he's done with the academy, and now what he's doing as first team manager, it's going really, really well. And I say that with just a hint of optimism in my voice.
Headed into the season, I mean, what's your expectations for this year? Is the giddyometer up to 11, do you feel?
Well, it's a weird one because I think it was more Perth Town. They put out a preview and basically said, if Guiseley don't win it, whoever finishes above them will. And, you know, certain people within the group that we were talking to who are Guiseley fans as well were kind of going, no, we're happy with mid-table this year. But that was a couple of weeks ago. And since then, the signings have been really good. And, you know, what I have to say is there was a win against York City, which defensively just, it honestly was just, the line that they played for 90 minutes was perfect. And it was kind of, I know it's a dangerous thing to go into pre-season games and be going, right, that was a great win. But it's just the way they played. And then to play a team like Darlington and, you know, ended 3-0, it could have been 5 or 6. It really was such a dominant display. And yeah, I mean, look, if you said to me right now, it's going to be the last place in the playoffs, I would more than happily take that. But I have to say, you know, the aims and expectations are, certainly within certain groups of the fan base, is that it will be very much a season at that very top end of the table.
Well, there we go. So that's the mood at Nevermore Park. Let's just nip across West Yorkshire now to the other team who joined us at step three this season from West Yorkshire. That's Liversidge. Just one defeat last season in the East Division of the MPL. Now, this is tricky because Jonathan Rimmington, I've spoken to Jonathan numerous times and he keeps his cards close to his chest. He doesn't get carried away with anything. You're keeping a lid on everything. So I'm going to ask you, Thomas, what do you feel the vibe's like at Liversidge?
Well, I mean, you know, you look at the squad that Jonathan's putting together there, and it's a squad full of experienced players who have done some really good things. A striker who, in James Walshaw, who within non-league, within the Yorkshire non-league circuit, has been there, done it, and he's got about 10 T-shirts, never mind just one. But last season was just remarkable, wasn't it? And, you know, you're looking at the success that they had, and kind of not just the success they had last season, but the success that they've had the previous season. And obviously, you know, they've gone up from the NCL Premier. They then go into, you know, the next division. And, you know, it's an absolutely remarkable season. And there is just that thing of with Liversidge. They are on the crest of the wave at the moment. And it's what's going to happen. There just really is such a question mark. The one player I'm really looking forward to watching is Iron Wilson, who was at Hallam, just kind of one of those where whenever you watched him, it was like he was guaranteeing you goals. And it's whether or not he can make that step up. But again, you know, the recruitment that Jonathan does, there's a lot more positives than negatives with him. And he does have an eye for players. And I think one big thing as well is they've expanded the coaching team as well, which an announcement that was made because of what's happened with Yorkshire Amateur, there was this thing where they've been able to bring in two really good coaches. And, you know, again, that's a really big positive as well. So it's a really weird one, this, because I'm normally, when the Yorkshire teams are on, you know, I'm kind of really bigging them up. But this time round, I'm really bigging them up and also really thinking that it could be something special for both sides.
And the remarkable thing is, Thomas, that, you know, you get a sense that most of the clubs in this league fancy a run at it this year, and they can't all be up at the top end. And when you look at the squads and the clubs involved, it's going to be one hell of a race, isn't it?
Yeah, you go through different Twitter accounts, and it's kind of like, right, who have they added? And you're looking for, you know, go at Radcliffe as just an example there, and you look at some of the players they've signed, you're like, wow, okay, South Shields, of course, and, you know, their full-time status and all that goes with it. Obviously, your lot, FC United, Warrington, who are always there or thereabouts, and, you know, there is just this
Thomas, which Warrington? That's the thing as well.
I have made a mistake there. Warrington Town, who are there or thereabouts, but Warrington Rylands, who then go out and sign a really promising player from Tranmere, and someone who, you know, I was speaking to someone who's you know, follows Tranmere, and he's saying that's an incredible signing for the NPL Premier. So normally you kind of can go, right, those five will be contesting for the title, those seven or eight will probably be mid-table, and then the rest will be fighting for the bottom. This time round, it's like, right, those 16 will probably be going for, like, a playoff place. The rest we're not sure of, and that's about it. So on paper, this is going to be just an incredible title race, an incredible playoff race. It's going to be dramatic at the bottom, and it really has got all the hallmarks to just be a fantastic season.
Yeah, the NPL promotion bottleneck is ever increasing, isn't it? It was bad last year. I mean, it's going to be something else this year. But Thomas, just while I've got you here, guys are to win it, Livers is to win in the playoffs, beating Whitby Town maybe in the final. But what's your prediction for this season? If you could do a broad one if you're more comfortable with that. You could have a broad prediction. I'll let you off with that.
You'll let me off with that? Now, do you know what? I think South Shields, I said about a month ago, I felt like it was going to be their year. And I feel like they're going to be either first or second. So I think if they don't win it, it is going to be them, you know, who have just missed out again. I can't say, guys. I feel like if I say that, I'm just trumping it, really. So I think guys will be in the playoffs. I do think that. I think Warrington Town will be in the playoffs. I think FC United will be in the playoffs.
God bless you. You can come again.
You owe me a tenner for that, I will say. But
I'll buy you a pie.
I'll take that. I'm cheap like that. I'm going to go South Shields. I think it will be. I do just think, especially with the start of the season and the amount of fixtures there are, just that being full time, that should play a part in this, even in the early stages. And then when there's the inevitable games called off for the weather, etc., and when it really gets to a point where it's cold, dark and miserable, and there's a lot of Saturday, Tuesday games happening, and they're going to be that team that have got that full-time status, that this season surely should play a part. Because, you know, you felt last season they'd probably do it, and obviously didn't, and with what happened with COVID, etc. So I think this year it will be their year, but if not, it could be a team in West Yorkshire. Leave it at that.
Well, Thomas Feeder, big thank you for joining us on this NPL show season preview. Just before you go, just a quick plug for your Twitter feed, loads of stuff on Geisley, but also non-league more generally. How can people follow you?
Yeah, it's at Thomas Feeney on Twitter, and I'm going to say the NPL Premier this year is the best league in the world. It's official.
That's right. Thomas, have a lovely couple of weeks before the start of the brand new season, and we'll catch up for fixture preview at some point in August. You have a lovely remainder of the summer, what's left of it.
Same to you, mate.
Thomas Feeney there, joining us, talking about Liversidge and Geisley. And Berkey, you have some notes on Geisley and Liversidge?
Yeah, just continuing what Thomas said, really. Often you see it when a team comes up from step four to step three, they'll take a few players who are on the way down a little bit. They might get someone from the National League North or something like that. Some youngsters who are they've not quite settled at step two or maybe even step one. Liversedge, they've gone the opposite direction. They're getting people from step five. They've dipped into the counties for strikers. They've dipped into step four for a couple of wingers. I think it's really interesting how they've done it. They've kind of poached the best players from okay teams, and I think it's a really good way of doing it. It's certainly a cheaper way of doing it, I think, but it's a good way of getting in proven players. All these proven players at step four and step five, but players that they think have got enough to compete at step three. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Liversedge do it. They're proper, for me, dark horses.
First one of the year. Out of the stables. There it is. Yeah. Right, so that's Geisley and Liversidge. And just before the break, I made an outlandish claim that we've covered off every single team in the top half of the table for this season. But Swamper, I've done an error. We mentioned it before that many moons ago. I've forgotten a team. I forgot FC United.
In all fairness...
Is it because we were just having a good time and, you know, the club? You just forget about things, don't you, when you're having a good time?
Well, it's because when the survey was done at FC United Manchester, the realisation came that only three people listened to this show, of which you and me were one of them, and your son was the other. So we can say what we want, because no one from FC cares. Huge, huge amount of signings from FC this season.
The signings they've made is going to...
I think
kick him off from ninth.
You know, I mean, we've lost some very important players. I mean, Potsy sort of like taking maybe a year out. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But that's a big miss. Every season, FC are capable of doing it. Whether they do or not is another thing. And I think you can say that about any club. But I think FC is one of those. I think we play football in the right way. It's entertaining. It's enjoyable.
You've strengthened at the back. Andy Hall should be a good sign. Clive Smith as well. That might just be a masterstroke, that. From Atherton calls, but James Vincent in midfield as well. A lot of experience there, still very good player, but you're still a bit blunt up top.
It's now time for Tameside Corner, and Berkey, let's go to you for the Tameside clubs. Let's start with Hyde United. What are you expecting?
I'm expecting it to be a tough season, to be fair. I don't think we'll be in any mire of being relegated. Nick Spooner has been really patient this pre-season. I was expecting there to be a big flurry of signings early on. This is his first season as a manager, his first pre-season as a manager. And he hasn't done that at all. He's kept the nucleus of last season's squad, and he's got trust in them. They got themselves out of a real terrible mire. When he came in February, early March, Hyde were not just going backwards, but they were sprinting backwards. They picked up something like 1.9 games. It was ludicrous. But he didn't just steady the ship, he put a big engine on it and off they whizzed into the sunset, leaving poor old Witten and Grantham behind him. Sorry, Simo. But it's true, we look good towards the end of the campaign, and bringing in David Nevin, I think, is a brilliant bit of business. He was the first signing of the season. One key area for Hyde last season was that we had no centre forwards for most of the season, but then Eddie Brown came in, he looked pretty decent, scored a beautiful goal on the last day of the season against FC, a lob from 35 yards.
I remember that, actually.
Beautiful stuff. But all of a sudden we've got four centre forwards, so we've got competition for a place that we had no one in at all for ages. Hyde are going to be decent this year. I don't think we're going to necessarily trouble the playoffs or anything like that, but it'll be a season of consolidation.
And Ashley United, because obviously last year it didn't really click for them, did it? But then they did go on a bit of a roll with Michael Clegg, didn't they, when they got players back?
They were really struggling for players at the end of the season. They had injury after injury after injury. It was ludicrous.
Manchester champions, though.
Absolutely. But they've strengthened at the back. They've brought in Matty Regan. They've brought in Niles Battersby. Two really, really solid centre-halves. Dead impressed with that by Cleggy. Battersby, of course, from his old club, Atherton Colts. But, Simo, you'll be able to tell us more about this one. Callum Saunders. Signed from Witten Albion. Brilliant.
Yeah. I'm made up for Callum that he's got the chance to carry on at this level, because I think what he did last season in a tanking team was remarkable and nearly was enough to keep them up. So he definitely deserves a chance to show what he can do again at another club. It's quite a big moment in his career, because that was a standout season for him, so can he do it again? But I think Ashton will create the chances for him to do that. I know lots of clubs are after him, so it's a little bit of a coup for Cleggy as well. It's been a total refresh up top, hasn't it, for Ashton, with Redshaw moving over to Hyde. Obviously Tom Bentham has moved on now to Trafford, so Callum Sun has been given the keys to the attack.
I think they're looking a bit leggy in midfield, mind you. I think they could do with a bit of spark in there, and they've got a horrible, horrible start. They had to go to Liver's Edge on the first day, which is a total unknown, isn't it, really? South Shields at home, then Rylands at home, then away at Mask, then Warrington at home, and then away to Hyde. Really, really difficult start to the campaign.
What about Stalybridge Celtic? Obviously, Simon Howarth has left, Chris Wilcott's come in. There's times last year where Stalybridge were just comfortable, weren't they? And then it kind of they dropped a bit, but then they got themselves back out of it. What do you think is the challenge for Chris Wilcott this year?
Survival. It's as simple as that. That's not being negative. They have lost a lot of the key players or key performers they had in the team last season. Some have moved on to higher level. Quanta's gone to Southport, and Justin Johnson's got a move to
Chorley.
So it's a big rebuild for Chris, but interesting dynamic there. It's his hometown team, so there's kind of an emotional investment for him to come in and rebuild that team, which will be interesting to watch. But as you know, as we're going down the league table, we're going to start to get to talk more, and obviously there's more relegation places this season, which a lot of the
how
teams...
many are there?
So we're back to normal now. Four relegation, and then a promotion and playoff.
So lots of the clubs are going to be conscious of that. I saw Stalybridge come over to Northwich to play a friendly a couple of weeks ago, and if they can keep hold of Raul Correa up top, he looks like the sort of guy that can weigh in with 15, 20 goals, and that gives you a chance at the bottom. After watching the team, you know, we just mentioned Callum Saunders, it gives you a chance. If he can stay fit and he can do that, my God, it does improve their chances, but they have got a lot of work to do.
James, what about Radcliffe?
This season is a lot bigger than ever, because some of the signs we've made advantage of the situation at Oldham, with Nick Adams coming in, Jem Carrigan. We're a lot more experienced side than we tend to be normally, and I think Radcliffe could be on for a good season if they get it right early doors.
Do we have to do the song?
Which one?
Do, do, do.
Are you?
No. I'm not just yet.
Are the expectations higher this season? I mean, obviously you brought in some well-known players, so it's a big season for Radcliffe, isn't it? You've got to maybe succeed. Or at least we're nowhere near relegation and look like you're progressing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's even in the case where we've got to absolutely explode and play fantastic. Well, go back to what we were that season when, again, third at Christmas, everything like that. The way it's going at the moment, everything seems to be aligning, because obviously probably going to be Berry's last season there, so money from there. It's the first season in a while Radcliffe have got every board in filled up, like sponsorship wise. I've not seen that in 15, 20 years. So there's something going on there, and I think the background team are getting everything ready. So again, taking over the local five-side pitch, like the Red Bank Field, obviously putting all the football foundation in, everything like that, that's going to be developing. So they're developing the team and the town ready for that sort of capability. I think if Radcliffe are going to go for it, this is going to be the year. Because again, with, like you said before, Matt coming up, and then Berry potentially as well.
I don't know. I think this is something this is something to build in the long term. Well, I personally don't think
we're going to get promoted this year. I think a top 10 pushing the playoffs would be a great season for Radcliffe, and I think we've got that capability.
What about Atherton Coles? One thing we can say about Atherton Coles last year is they were a difficult team to play against.
Yeah,
they didn't score many, but they didn't concede that many either.
No one really rolled them over, but they went backwards in the last few months. And when you at this stage of, well, I'd say this stage of the season, pre-season, when you're looking at who you fancy to do well, who you fancy to kind of struggle a little bit, you have to go off something. Whether that's the players that they've signed or whether it's the form from the previous season, the end of the last season, and Coles really, really, really struggled towards the end. Again, they weren't being tonked by anyone, but they were going down by the odd goal, and in the end, they just about scraped.
Weren't they just an autopilot though at that point of the season?
No, they were just I don't think they were. They've lost a couple of key players at the back as well, in Clive Smith and now Battersby.
Danny Lambert decided to retire. Big one, massive enforcer for him, or enforcer style player that you kind of need in this division at the moment.
Exactly, but they have brought in Scott Backer, which I was not expecting whatsoever. I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see how Coles do this season. I'm not expecting to pull up any trees or anything like that, but Brad Cook, he's got the dressing room. Has he got the quality of player, though?
It's perfect, though, for Brad Cook, isn't it, to be just under the radar?
Did you see his interview after the friendly against Chester this week? I thought he's teed up their season beautifully. He was defiant. Everybody's going to write us off. Everybody thinks we've got no chance.
And he's right. And just to
be clear, everyone, completely and utterly wrong last season.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Well, I don't know about that.
South Shields did not win the league. No one was predicting Scarborough to win
Radcliffe
the playoffs.
Did get relegated.
No one said Matt Lobb was going to be in the playoffs.
Whoa.
Bamber Bridge, 6.
Ben,
no one said
ben,
that.
I did say Scarborough would win the playoffs. Listening. I what? Did say Scarborough would win the playoffs, admittedly from February onwards. But...
Now, I'm going to say something now that what we need to do, and then what we do is at the end of the season.
We do this every year. He's always.
And we never do it, but we never do it.
Because we're never right, so it's never mentioned.
We should.
We put him in an envelope like we did it a few years ago. We put him in an envelope, didn't we? Yeah. And then we opened him and went.
Aaron Flanagan was right because he said Hyde would get relegated. So, it must have been.
No, it was Alan. Alan was being funny as a league.
Oh, league secretary. Oh,
yeah, so he was being diplomatic by saying someone outlandish to get relegated, and we all laughed as if that'll happen. And they did.
But we need to do that. So, because the listener needs to know that we all have no idea.
Well, they know this.
Well, do you think
what
so?
What series is this? Is this Series 8? Let's talk about Gainsborough Trinity. I'm looking at someone who's got notes on Gainsborough. Berkey, what about Gainsborough Trinity? They've obviously had a change of management. They've got two managers in there now. North Holme.
It's been all change. Tom Short, I thought he did a really good job, actually, because I know you didn't put it out at the start of the season, but you always go around the table. It's a bit of fun. Saying, oh, well, who do you think is going to get relegated? And each and every one of us said, we reckon Gainsborough are going to go. And they avoided it pretty comfortably in the end.
We're not laughing now.
No, well, we're not, because, look, they did it on the back of a brilliant, brilliant home record. They only lost twice at home all campaign. Admittedly, they only won three times on the travels, and that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Why on earth can you do it at North Holme but not away? It doesn't make any sense. But Neil Bishop and Damon Parkinson, they've come in and they need to build on that home form, because if they don't, they're doomed. They're absolutely doomed. Brad Grayson, he's come in again at centre forward, but he needs help.
He's got help, though, because they've signed Clayton Donaldson from York.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
So that's all the teams from last season who were in the league. We've missed off a couple who were new to the division this year. Firstly, Simo. Marine, I'll come to you for Marine. They've got back to step three, got a brand new pitch.
Debuted the other day.
Yeah. What do you think for this season?
Grassall.
They have got out of a very, very 4G. Difficult division in step
yeah,
four.
Yeah, and I can't remember if we mentioned it when we were previewing the playoffs or reviewing the playoffs, but those 15 minutes, if Runcorn Linnets had hung on, what would position of Marine be in now? It's amazing how things can change so quickly. So they, we talked about Liversedge's transfer policy earlier. Marine's been quite interesting as well, because for a promoted team, there's been an awful lot of turnover. But I do think that's because Neil Young knows the division, his managerial track record, knows how to get out of this division, by the way, as well as knowing how to get into it. And I think he's looked at it and gone, we need to be better in quite a few areas. So the lads that have been moved on, almost without exception, have been replaced with a better quality of player, which obviously is going to put them in a really good position. They've signed Callum Harris from Stalybridge, Andy Hollins, centre-half from Guiseley, Josh Wardle, captain at Witton. So they've made, and they're just a selection. Oh, Mo Torre, who's left Salford, a big signing for them, especially after losing Neil Kenji to Macclesfield. So
banging him in pre-season as well.
He did. So I would be extremely optimistic. I'm not sure where they're pegging their expectations. They've been quite quiet about that so far. Maybe not as noisy as some of the other promoted teams, but I think they'll do really well. They may not challenge for promotion this season, but I would be amazed if they're not in the top half.
And Belper Town last season, they beat Matlock Town, didn't they? And we mentioned Marine coming out of a difficult West Division. The Midlands Division last year was particularly hard. Belper Town should be okay.
I'd say so. They've got goals there. Brodie Litchfield, he knows where the back of the net is.
Great signing.
You know, Danny South's his captain. You remember, he used to be a centre forward at Ossett when he was there with Grant. And he was horrible, horrible, horrible to play against as centre forward. He's the same now as a centre half. You know, so you're not going to get too much change out of him. But Jack Gibson as well, he signed. He had a loan spell at Belper last season from Gainsborough. Big, strapping lad. He's 6'4", something like that. And he's been a very popular addition. He got injured towards the end of last season, so his spell there was a little bit broken up, but he scored a few goals. And I don't think they're going to be troubling the upper echelons of the table, but I've got a sneaky feeling they'll do all right, you know, Ben.
Okie dokie. And on that note, that's everyone. All 22 teams.
Are you sure?
In the NPL.
I mean, you've tended to miss every season at least one or two.
Now,
and that letter comes in.
Just a disclaimer, we are recording this last Wednesday, but that takes me to
it's bizarre,
the
isn't
worst
it?
Part of any preview show. our predictions.
Yes.
No, I'm not doing
it. Now, we're not going to put them in an envelope because that's stupid.
It's not.
But this is the envelope now.
Who's going to look after the envelopes?
Hang on, there is a digital record of the envelope.
Yeah, it's recorded.
But in fairness, what Ben does is he makes sure that the very first show of the season, by the end of the season, has been deleted, so therefore he can't have the predictions. It's a disgrace.
Now, Berkey, come to you first.
10 points, Berkey. 10 points, Berkey.
first prediction, is anyone going to win the league by 10 points? No. Serious question. No, okay.
No chance.
Now, who's going to win the league?
I don't know, mate. I'm going to go for it. I've heard the conjecture from around the table. I've heard the reasoning. I'm persuaded by my learned friend, Andrew Simpson, away to my right-hand side, who says, Warrington...
Which one?
I think... Well, I'm not going to say which one.
Oh!
No, I don't...
Very good.
I don't... It's going to be... I just think it's going to be so close. Shields will be up there. Warrington both should be up there.
Is that a better question, just to say, because it is ridiculous to say who would win the league in July.
But we've done it every season. We can't stop now. Yeah. We can't.
But this season, Berkey's right. No one's going to win it by 10 points.
Oh, no, last season.
I doubt they'll win it.
So you were basing this now based upon the fact if it's not going to be 10 points, we might as well not do it.
No, I'm suggesting rather than do one team, it should be who's going to be in and around.
We've got to do what we've always done.
What's in and around for you?
We have to look like idiots by the end of the season.
Or during the show.
Yeah. Well, you always blame the host, don't you? Whoever hosts the show, it's down to them.
Berkey?
All right, I'm going 1 from 3 of Warrington Town, Warrington Rylands and South Shields.
Simo?
Well, he's nicked me pick. It is written there. I think Toby's going to kill us. He is going to kill us if we tip Warrington to win the league. But I think they might do it.
Okay. Can we put Liver's Edge? Can I mention them?
Yes, I think.
Because I just don't know about them.
Did you mention them as a dark horse?
Yeah, I did.
I think that's a fair enough shout, I think, based on how they performed last year. Mask as well. I think both those teams.
I don't know, man. Liver's Edge, I just think they're doing things in a smart way.
I'm going to give you South Shields, Warrington Town, Morpeth, FC United, Bamber Bridge.
Oh, big up, Brick.
Well, that's it for this very special edition of the Pitching In NPL show, previewing the 22-23 season. Can you believe we're about to enter 2023? We're living in the future,
I know.
Aren't we?
And we're all entirely back to normal.
And we're still doing the same podcast, saying the same old things. Don't take this show serious or literally. We've just filled an hour. That's exactly what we've done. Big thank you to Thomas Feeney and to Mark Rovers for joining us. And Berkey, you've got a closing thought?
Yeah, I just want to say it's dead good being back in person doing it. We did it once last season and it was all well, you know, it's fine doing it on the internet and whatnot, but we can interrupt each other in real life here properly.
That's Ben's favourite bit.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Ben hated us interrupting each other because it makes it difficult to edit. But we don't care about what Ben thinks. Because we want a good podcast for people to listen to, don't we? And people interrupting each other and making each other laugh. Thank you for joining us. Oh, well done.
But a big thank you to Berkey for joining us this month. Big thank you to Swampy.
You're very welcome, thank you very much.
Big thank you to James Hayes.
Thank you, Ben.
And a big thank you to Simo.
Pleasure.
And we'll be back next week with another Welcome to the NPL, where we'll be catching up with a few more brand new Step 4 clubs. And then it all starts, doesn't it?
Hey!
And James will be back for that fixture preview show that we'll be doing. But that's it for the season preview show. Like I said, don't get in touch. We'll be back next August to correct the record.
But
we're going to go now. Big thank you to Damien as well at the Heating Hops. Good establishment to drink in, lads.
Yeah, the best.
We're going to go now. We'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.